Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You ready to go, Ray?
Always, Todd.
Alrighty, let's go find Lionel someplace. Hello, Lionel.
Hello, Todd. How are you going?
Oh, we're doing great. How are you? Where are you?
We're doing well here, and I'm at the Coringle Hub, which is in Frankston. And I've got a young lady with me named Alicia, who says she's a good person.
All right, Lionel, I'm sorry. This young lady's name is?
Alicia.
Alicia.
No, Alicia.
Right here, it says Alicia, Todd.
Yeah.
Good.
And that's Alicia with a Y in the middle, A-L-Y-C-H-A.
I'll remember to pronounce it with a Y.
Very important. All right, let's have at it, shall we?
Here she is.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, Alicia. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. I appreciate you coming on the program.
That's okay.
I would like to know what you think happens after someone dies. What's on the other side?
I think that, you know, your spirit and body are two separate things. So when you die, your spirit leaves your body. But I don't believe in heaven.
So where's the spirit going to go? Waft around in the desert?
Well, I think it stays down with us, and that's why, you know, there's people believe in guardian angels. So someone's watching over you.
So if I died, I got the job of being a spirit that watches over people?
Well, like watching over your family sort of thing.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult because they're spread out all over the place. I got family all around the world.
I've always been told I've got a guardian angel.
Really? So someone's following around, watching what you're doing all the time?
Well, but in a good way.
Oh, okay. Alicia, where do you get your information from?
Just I made up my own opinion because in primary school we had to do RE and I never really believed any of that, or I didn't want it forced down my throat. So
yeah, you know what I found?
I stood back.
When I was a kid and I was worried about people forcing religion down my throat, I figured out what I can do. You know what you can do? I just had to shut my mouth and it wouldn't go down my throat. Hey, what do you think about the Bible? Do you think that's true?
Oh, that's a big question.
Have you ever read it? It's the world's most famous and biggest seller of all time.
No, because I'm not really religious.
Yeah, but I mean, even from a literary point of view, it's the greatest seller of all time. If you want to be educated, it's good to know what the message of the Bible is. What do you think the message of the Bible is?
I don't know, because I think each person interprets it slightly differently.
Yeah.
So I think some people think it's, you know, family's the most important thing and loyalty.
Alicia, do you believe in God's existence?
Sometimes.
So you mean he appears sometimes and then he doesn't, and his existence is dependent upon your belief in him?
Well, I think it's hard to believe in him, even though, you know, you just got to have faith, but you want to believe, but at the same time I don't believe.
Do you think there's any proof for God's existence?
Pardon?
Do you think there's any proof for God's existence?
Yes and no.
Well, let me help you. Let me help you reason with this, because it's something that's so important, and just a little bit of logic can help. When you look at a painting, how could you prove there was a painter?
Because it's there in front of your face.
That's exactly right. Paintings don't happen by themselves. I've yet to have someone say to me, "Look at this painting. Nobody painted it. It happened." I'd say, "What are you talking about? The painting is proof there's a painter." Well, creation is proof there's a creator. Your eyes have got 136 million light-sensitive cells in each eye. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You've got a brain which is far more sophisticated than any computer system that man's ever made. Your eyes are far more complex than any camera system that's been created. So the fact that we're made shows us there's a maker. And besides that, we've got a conscience. The word conscience means with knowledge. Con is with, science is knowledge. So each of us have an inner knowledge of right and wrong, and we know that God exists because creation shows us. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, what I don't get is, like, because each kind of culture has a different God. Like, the Egyptians have many gods.
Right.
And, you know, each one different things. So, you sort of, I like to believe my own sort of thing. Like, there might not be all those Egyptian gods. There might not just be one god.
Well, do you know what it's called? The Bible has actually got a name for what that's called. When we do that, that's called idolatry. It's creating a god in your own image. It's called idolatry when you create a god in your own image. I did it before I was a Christian.
Yeah.
I had my own concept of what God is like, and I'd pray every night to the God of my own creation. He was non-existent, but I felt comfortable snuggling up to him in my mind. And that's called idolatry when you do that, and it's a violation of the second of the Ten Commandments. Now, speaking of the Ten Commandments, do you think you've kept them? The Ten Commandments are God's standard of right and wrong. You know, you shall not kill, you shall not steal.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think you're a good person?
I do.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold you next to the Ten Commandments to see if it's true. You ready?
Okay.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you call someone who tells lies?
Liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
No.
In your whole life, even if it's small?
Yes.
You have stolen something?
Oh, sorry, I thought you said, have you ever smoked?
No, have you ever stolen? Taking something belongs to someone else. Have you ever stolen from somebody, even if it's small?
No.
Okay, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. It's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments. And then Jesus said, if you look with lust, sexual desire at someone, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust, even once?
Yes.
Okay, listen to this, Alicia. By your own admission, you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. So here's the big question. If you stand before God on the Day of Judgment, and he judges you by the Ten Commandments, we've looked at four of them, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think those Ten Commandments are extreme, because if I followed each one of those, I'd be going straight to hell. I have piercings, I have tattoos, I swear, I drink, I smoke. I'd be going to hell.
No, they're actually not sins. You can smoke all you like, and that doesn't mean that you're sinning against God. It means you're just destroying your body. But the more serious sins are lying and blasphemy and adultery, which you've said you're guilty of. So you think you'd be guilty and end up in hell?
I don't believe in heaven or hell, so I'd be fine.
Well, not really. If I was a criminal standing in front of a judge and he condemned me to the electric chair and I said, Judge, I know I'm guilty, but I don't believe in the electric chair, it's not going to go away just because I don't believe in it. Hell is a place of God's
justice. Yeah, but that's something
justice.
I can see.
Yeah, and the electric chair is something that I can't see, but just because I don't believe in it doesn't mean to say it disappears. And there is going to be a day of justice, and there is a God who's righteous and holy, and you've sinned against him, and he gave you a conscience so you'd be without excuse. What can you say to God on Judgment Day? I'm a liar and a blasphemer and an adulterer, but I didn't know it was wrong. You can't say that because he gave you a conscience. So does it concern you that according to the Bible, if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell forever?
No, because I'm still nice at the end.
Yeah, well, we all think we're nice. The Bible says every man is pure in his own eyes.
I do agree with some of the Ten Commandments, but I think they are far too extreme.
Which one's extreme?
Well, the adulterous.
So you think it's okay to commit adultery?
You can't look at anyone with lust.
Yeah. So you think pornography's okay?
Yeah.
What about child pornography? Is that okay?
No.
So you've got a moral standard. So your standard is child pornography is morally wrong. Well, God's standard is much, much higher, Alicia. He says if you even look with lust, you're committing adultery in your heart. And that's the standard you have to be judged by. And I'm worried for you that if you died tonight and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell. And I want you to be concerned about your eternal salvation. There's nothing more important than where you're going to spend eternity. Okay, God did something for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell. And this is what he did. God became a person, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was a morally perfect person. He was without sin. And he gave his life on the cross, taking the punishment for Alicia's sins, for my sins, for the sin of the whole world. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. He was paying our fine in his life's blood so that God could dismiss our case. God can forgive your sins, Alicia, because of what Jesus did on the cross. He defeated death through the resurrection. But what you must do is repent and trust alone in him. Do you have a Bible?
No.
Please think about what we've talked about. Okay, that's all we ask is that you have an open heart and consider where you're going to spend eternity because there's nothing more important. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Todd, do you want to say anything to Alicia?
Hey, Alicia, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, I've been eavesdropping. What do you think about what that fellow has been saying to you, just between you and me?
Oh, I just think he was trying to push his views onto me.
Yeah.
And, you know, each person has their own conscience, so they should be able to make up their own mind. And if one person thinks in heaven and hell, then they can think in heaven and hell. If someone else doesn't, they don't have to. Like political views.
Yeah, let me. Well, it's a little different than political views. And here's why. You have the right to vote because there's different candidates. The Bible says there's only one God. Now, either that's true or it's false.
Yeah, but see, in the end, you can look at your Bible and I'll look at my law and I'll look at science. I'm more of a business and science person, so I look at that sort of logic rather than a book that's telling me what I can and cannot do.
Yeah, I understand. But all I would challenge you with this, Alicia, is I think it's more honest to say, I think you guys are wrong, rather than saying, well, that's right for you. It's either right or it's wrong. And I think it's just better to say, I reject it, or I think it's true, but not to say it doesn't matter, because it is either right or wrong. And that's all we can ask you to think about, okay?
Okay.
Hey, thank you for talking to us.
Oh, thank you. That's okay.
All right. Goodbye, Alicia.
Bye.
It's either true or it's not. Doesn't matter what I think, you think, Alicia thinks, Ray thinks, anybody thinks. It is either true or false.
This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl and she repented. She used to be a sad looking kid. Now seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
We are proud to announce our newest addition to the Drive-By series, Drive-By False Teaching. And just as the name implies, Drive-By False Teaching will give you the tools you need to distinguish the true from the almost true and contend earnestly for the faith.
Error can affect other areas of your theology. You can have errors in your eschatology. You can even have errors in pneumatology. But what you notice as you study doctrinal history is that all the really serious heresies, the ones that lead to cults and serious false religions, always are based on either a faulty Christology or a faulty soteriology or both. In other words, heresy becomes really serious when it results in a different gospel or a different Christ.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is glorious and well worth defending. Drive-By False Teaching will help you defend our doctrines. Get your copy today at wretched.org/false-teaching.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ray, are you ready to go fishing?
I'm ready to go fishing.
Oh, Forbes.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, young man.
Hey, Todd. Well, I'm here in Rundle Mall, which is right in the heart of Adelaide. And it's always very busy and great place to go for, you know, fishing and stuff. So I found here with me a young man by the name of Andrew, and he's 20 years old, and he professes to be an agnostic.
With a name like Andrew, that's such a good Bible name, and he's an agnostic.
Yeah.
It just makes you want to weep. All right. Hey, dude, pass the phone over. You'll have a little chit-chat with Ray.
All right, cool. I'll pass it on.
Hello?
Andrew, thank you very much for coming on the program. Really appreciate it. I understand you are a 20-year-old agnostic.
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
are you
as far as I can tell.
Why would you call yourself an agnostic?
Well, it's because I basically don't believe in the whole I'm not religious at all, but I can't really deny the existence of some sort of higher power, whether you want to call that God or, I don't know, Buddha or whatever you want to call it. I can't really deny the existence of it.
Why can't you deny the existence of it?
Well, I've just sort of got the feeling that this can't be it. I feel like there's something maybe above us or higher, like a higher power.
Boy, don't feel bad about not being religious. I didn't have any Christian upbringing at all for 22 years. I think I went to church 3 times in 22 years, and I hated it. Other people took me, and I found it incredibly boring and irrelevant, nothing to do with what I wanted to do in life. So don't feel bad about saying...
Oh, no, I totally don't. I feel I live a fairly fulfilling life, and I don't feel the need to be religious at all.
So what happens after someone dies, Andrew? Where do you think they go?
Well, a lot of people are buried in the ground.
Yeah.
Some are cremated. But as after that, I have no idea. You know, maybe there is an afterlife, or maybe we all wander the earth as sort of tortured souls or something like that.
Well, you've given a good description of yourself. Being agnostic, you really don't know, and I think it's the right description. Yeah, so you're not sure what happens after someone dies. Do you know how to know that God does exist?
No, not really.
Well, let me share some thoughts with you that may help you. Okay?
Okay.
When you look at a building, how do you know there was a builder?
Oh, I can see it.
That's it. The building is proof there was a builder. Let's take it to a painting. When you look at a painting, how do you know there was a painter?
Yeah, well, there was a painter to paint.
That's it. The painting couldn't paint itself. The building couldn't build itself. The building is proof there was a builder, and the painting is proof there's a painter. So when you look at creation, how do you know there was a creator? Well, creation proves there was a creator. You can't have a creation without a creator. And so
but then there's the whole Big Bang theory and evolution side of things.
But when you look at it, if you've got a Big Bang, you've got to have material to bang in the first place. You know, Big Bangs don't happen from nothing. There's got to be gases, and there's got to be something to spark the Big Bang. There's got to be, you know, all that sort of stuff. So you can't have...
Yeah, well, that's sort of why I believe that there is some sort of higher power or a creator or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But I don't necessarily believe that it's sort of the way that the Bible tells it.
How does the Bible tell it?
Well, I'm not really sure. I'm not well read in that sort of thing.
Well, how do you know that you don't know that it's what the Bible says is true? The Bible says God spoke in the beginning and there was a big bang. God said, let there be light. And there was light. So he could have been responsible for the big bang. So it can come in together. Cosmologists agree that the Genesis account of creation is uncannily close to the truth. That's according to Time magazine. So the Bible's quite an incredible book, but it's not relevant to what we're talking about at the moment, Andrew. Andrew, here's a question for you. If there's a heaven, do you think you'd go there? Are you a good person?
I believe I'm a good person, and I do things that I believe are right. I'm not sure about heaven. I don't know if it's there or if it exists.
Well, let's do a big if. If there's a heaven, you think you're a good person, you'd probably make it. Let's just do a little test to see if you are a good person, okay?
Okay.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Oh, yeah.
What does that make you?
A thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Saying like, oh my God, or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's called blasphemy, where you use God's name as a cuss word to express disgust. It's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments. And listen to this one. This one pinned me to the wall. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah, of course.
So listen to this, Andrew. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you've got to face God on Judgment Day. And here's a big if. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Well, if there is this God, and if you necessarily believe the Ten Commandments, etc., then, I suppose the Christian God would judge me and send me to hell.
I didn't say that. I just said, would you be innocent or guilty?
Oh, I guess I would be guilty.
So if you were guilty, would you go to heaven or hell?
I guess I would go to hell.
Does that concern you that if you died today, according to the Bible, you'd end up in hell forever?
Well, no. Not really.
You know, that little not really reveals something to me. Would you sell one of your eyes for $1 million?
No.
Would you sell both for $100 million?
No.
And yet your eyes are merely the windows of your soul. The real you, Andrew, looks out these little windows we call eyes. So if you so value your eyes that you wouldn't sell them for $100 million, how much more is your life worth? You don't want to lose it. You don't want to be damned for eternity. So obviously you love life. You care about your life. You've got a God-given will to live. So right now let it kick in and say, yeah, it would concern me that if I died today, I'd go to hell forever. It should
but
concern
you. But as far
you.
As I know, life ends when I die. I don't know that that there is an afterlife, that there is a hell or there is a heaven. Maybe I don't believe in that sort of thing.
And yeah, but life
ends when it ends.
What we believe doesn't matter, and you're taking a huge gamble. You're like a man on a plane who's going to jump out through a door. He says, well, I believe I'll be right. I don't really believe in the law of gravity because you can't see it. And I say, hey,
but
there's
that's
terror.
Different. I know that gravity exists. I know that if I jump out of a plane without a parachute, I'll probably die.
Have you got a conscience? Have you got a conscience?
Yeah.
You know what your conscience says to you? It says you shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not take the name of your God in vain.
I didn't say I do steal or I do lie. I said that I have
That's right.
stolen and I have lied.
But can't you see what I'm saying? That God has written that same law on your heart via your conscience. The word conscience means with knowledge. Con is with, science is knowledge. So when you say, I don't know, the fact is you do because God has given you knowledge. And on the day of judgment, you won't be able to say to God, I didn't know it was wrong to lie or steal or blaspheme or commit adultery
in my
heart.
I did know it was wrong to lie.
That's right.
And I did know it was wrong to steal.
That's right.
But there's a difference between like stealing just for the sake of it or for example, I work doing night fill at a supermarket. One night I was feeling really, really sick and I felt about to faint and just thought I really need to get some sugar or something. So, I took a small chocolate bar to prevent myself from fainting.
Dying, yeah, good work. Listen, you know what you're doing?
What's that?
You're trying to justify yourself? But how can you justify lust or adultery of the heart or lying and blasphemy? What you need to do, Andrew, is just say, boy, I have really sinned against God. God has seen my thought life. And the Bible says you're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works, that his wrath abides upon you. And often we think, if I say, I don't believe in something, it goes away, but it doesn't. If I said to you, I don't believe the sun is hot, I think it's made of ice, it's square, and it comes out at night. You'd say, oh, that's nice, Ray, but what you believe doesn't matter. Reality is what matters. And the reality is that you've got a conscience, you've sinned against God. If you die in your sins and God gives you justice and reveals all the secret sins we haven't even talked about, you'd be guilty and end up in hell. Andrew, I don't want that to happen to you. I am fearful for you, and I want to hear you say, boy, I am concerned for my eternal salvation. That's all I want to hear from you.
Well, you're not going to be hearing that today.
Well, I hope that as you cross the road, you'll be very, very careful because you've only got one life, and you've got to be very careful that you take care of it, because if you do die in your sins, it's eternal damnation, and if your eyes and my eyes meet on the day of judgment, I'm going to say to you, I was free from your blood because I told you the truth and you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't open your heart. You wouldn't soften your prejudice and say, yeah, I'd like to know what God's done for me so that I won't go to hell. Because God did something great for you, but if you're not interested, I can't tell you because you'll just despise what he's done for you. But boy, soften your heart, Andrew, because sin is so enticing. It's like a flame to a moth. You'll just keep going back to lust and pornography and fornication. And whammo, if you get an aneurysm in the night and you die, or if you cross the street and a car hits you or you have a head-on collision, there's no second chance. None.
Well, thank you. I just, I'm really concerned with right now and living a good life right now and being happy. And if that compromises my afterlife or whatever there is afterwards, then I think that's my problem, and people should stop trying to change people's views on that.
Okay, Andrew, thanks for talking with us.
Oh, sin is fun for a season.
This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherds Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkenis. Prayerless out. Islamic extremists killed a kidnapped pastor, Lawan Andimi, leader of the Christian Association of Nigeria in northeast Adamawa State on Monday. Boko Haram terrorists captured the pastor on a January 3rd raid of his hometown. Extremist groups have upped their sporadic attacks across northern Nigeria since December. In a proof-of-life video posted earlier this month, Andimi pleaded for his release and proclaimed his faith in God, saying, "By the grace of God, I will be together with my wife, my children, and all my colleagues. If the opportunity is not granted, maybe it is the will of God." Praying for Pastor Andimi's family and for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters. Three Montana mothers want the U.S. Supreme Court to consider whether families can use private scholarships at religiously affiliated schools. Thank you. Today, attorneys for the moms will defend a state tax credit program designed to generate private scholarships for Montana students to attend the schools of their choice. Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue. The state Supreme Court struck down Montana's tax credit scholarship program. State residents who contributed to the privately run program received a $150 tax credit. The court overturned the credit to stop students from taking their private scholarships to faith-based schools. The ruling claimed that state tax credits at such schools violate Montana's Blaine Amendment. The state's constitutional amendment forbids any direct or indirect aid to schools owned or operated by a church, sect, or denomination. Proponents of the scholarship program claim Blaine Amendments unconstitutionally discriminate against low-income parents and treat religious institutions as second-class citizens. You remember in Trinity Lutheran versus Comer, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 2017 that the state of Missouri could not exclude churches from a program to provide grants to resurface the playgrounds. Seven of the eight justices on the court at the time supported Chief Justice John Roberts' majority opinion in that case. Espinoza would allow the court to rule more broadly on such religious discrimination. And a Missouri legislator faces accusations of censorship and book banning after proposing a bill to keep inappropriate sexual conduct out of the hands of children. Republican State Representative Ben Baker's bill would withdraw funding from public libraries that allow minors to access age-inappropriate materials. A parental review board would determine the age appropriateness of sexual content, and libraries would have to certify compliance annually. Authorities could charge employees who willfully refuse to comply with a misdemeanor. Reaction to the bill was swift and acerbic. James Tager of Pen America, promoting free expression through literature, called it a shockingly transparent attempt to legalize book banning in the state of Missouri. But Representative Baker professed more modest terms, saying, "I want to be able to take my kids to a library and make sure they're in a safe environment." And really, wouldn't we all? More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
Important dates in Christian history. 312 AD. Emperor Constantine is converted after seeing a vision of the cross. He becomes a defender and advocate of the oppressed Christians. After his death, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, which endured in some form for another 1,500 years.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Trish.
Hi, Todd. Hey,
how are you?
Hi, Ray. Good, thank you. I think I have someone here that has actually beat your height, is taller than you, maybe.
Not that hard. I'm not...
He's 6'7", yeah, and I took a picture
big.
Of me. I took my shoes off and stood there, and I look like a dwarf.
I wouldn't like to witness to this guy face-to-face, because while I never realize that I'm taller than most, when I meet somebody who's taller, boy, does that get up my nose.
And I think he's beat you.
He's a big boy. All right. Does he have any vertical?
Does he have any vertical?
Yeah.
Well, now, what's that? I'm
can
behind
he jump?
On the germ. Oh, germ. No, he says he doesn't play ball. He used to play, but his brother plays, too. And he's a student at University of North Texas, where I'm at today, in Denton, Texas. This is a huge campus. Doesn't surprise
Texas.
Me. I mean, everything's big in Texas.
That's right.
But he said it seemed larger. But he was raised in a Baptist church. He's an atheist. He became an atheist about 5 years ago and is pretty much unashamed of his atheism, at least it seems.
Oh.
And so, yeah, he's open to talk to you guys. He is a student that desires to, I guess, live in Germany one day to work at the embassy. What's your major again? International studies is his major, so.
Uh-huh. Germany. Alrighty.
Yeah, he wants to focus on international terrorism. That's his goal.
Uh-huh. Alrighty. Well, interesting. All right, what's the fellow's name?
Keith.
Keith or Keith?
Keith. K-E-I-T-H.
All right, I thought maybe it was like
I got my spelling good today. All right.
There's a comparative. And all right, let's give it a go, shall we?
Thank you so much, Todd. Right. Here's Keith.
Germany international terrorism.
Hello.
Keith, how do you do?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Cool, Walt. Hey, I want to ask you a question about international terrorism.
Yes, sir.
Who's responsible for the most atrocities in the world? What people group? Christians, Muslims, IRA, atheists, communists, what is it? Who is the big demo?
I think if you try to break it down by those categories, it doesn't really solve anything. I think people in general, as us as a species, we're responsible for a lot of atrocity. But when you break it down to religious groups, that's trying to say that the religion itself is causing that sort of atrocity. But I don't think usually... like, especially with political events like Hitler, Stalin, those are more political than religious.
All right. Here we go. I can give you the breakdown. I happen to have it right here.
Okay.
123 wars could validly be claimed to have religion at their heart. That would be 6.98% of all wars fought.
Okay.
And half of those, by the way, 66 in all, were by Islamic nations. So the great majority of the wars have been caused by unreligious things. So whatever they came from, were caused by somebody who wasn't religious and didn't have a religious motivation.
I think it's more beneficial to focus on the particular wars themselves and try to group them all together. Like, if you want to talk about the war we're currently in, you can break that down into religious. You can break it down to secular terms. There's tons of different reasons.
Yes, I agree with you. But, Keith, would you agree that a particular worldview is inclined to have consequences that might result more likely in things like war?
Well, it depends on the religious doctrine or the non-religious, I suppose, doctrine.
All right. Now, Keith, I want to ask you a specific question. You want to go to Germany, correct?
It's a plan. It's not set in stone. But...
lovely country. Lovely.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful.
Yeah. So World War II was led by Adolf Hitler, who was an individual who I think we can agree was an atheist. Yes?
Well, Adolf was a bit of a hard case narrowed
down. Not that hard. But let's just go with history that he hated Christianity. He wanted to tear it down. He killed Christians. He killed Jews. That's not something that a Christian does.
He held a lot of beliefs that aren't exactly secular. I mean, he believed a lot in sort of, I guess you'd say, pagan or cult beliefs. And they had a supernatural element to him.
I'm okay with that. Now, do you believe that any of his outworkings of the eugenics program to kill Jews, homosexuals, artists, the effeminate, to kill people that were feeble-minded, do you think that was informed by any of his particular worldview?
I think he misread Darwin like a lot of the eugenics movement people did. I mean... I think he had a very poor understanding of it, and I think it was behind that whole eugenics movement that he bought into it,
Well, we could debate if it was a misreading or he read it just right and concluded rightly. But nevertheless, good for you. You recognize that he was tied into evolutionary ideas, survival of the fittest, and speed the process by killing the weak.
Well, Darwin didn't even say survival of the fittest. That was Huxley.
Okay. Now, you're an atheist, correct?
Yes, sir.
Recently, and I just happened to have seen it this morning, Richard Dawkins was asked, what if you're wrong? And Richard Dawkins, I just don't think he even came close to giving a satisfying answer. Keith, if you're wrong about God, what is the result of your worldview? How would it play out? What would be the consequences? What would happen to the world?
Let's say I'm wrong, and are you meaning, like, after I die, let's say I figure out that I'm
Well, there's
wrong,
that. Right? No, we'll tackle that next, but let's say you win. Atheism takes over.
Okay.
Okay. Where will it take us? What will happen to society? What will happen to culture?
Personally, I mean, I don't really think that it will, but okay, we're going hypothetical. What would happen? Honestly, that would depend on the individual and what, because to me, the non-religious belief, that's dealing specifically with religion itself and with the supernatural itself. Morality is sort of an external, separate, secondary category that you have to evaluate. And morality and ethics, I mean, there's people who are religious that have tons of different types of moral and ethical codes.
Keith, hold on a second. You said something I've got to jump in on. You said,
okay,
well, it's hard to tell. Actually, we can tell exactly. We can take a look at China, and we can see what atheism will do. We can take a look at North Korea, and we know what atheism will do.
I think that's a straw man. I mean, you're looking. That's North Korea isn't just atheism. It's a government, and it's how that government is run, which
atheistically
is an independent variable of atheism.
Yeah,
and
no, it's not.
Not everyone in North.
Keith, come on. Worldviews are tied into decisions and governments all the time. We know that.
But not directly and not absolutely. I mean,
they're not compartmentalized like a house. They're in there. They're intertwined.
A government and what it does in its policy can be completely separate from what it is religion. I mean, look at our government. It's mostly secular, and the people who are in it are religious. But what they focus on in the government is governance, and that's a completely separate thing.
So they don't bring their religion to bear on their decisions, is that correct?
No, they do. But
yeah, there you go. So do atheists. Okay, Keith, next question.
It's not an either-or. Right. I mean, there's degrees.
I'm sure.
In America, you're supposed to have a small degree. You're not supposed to make it a theocracy.
Right. I don't think there's danger of that. All right, now, Keith, the other one, you were a Baptist. Now you're an atheist. If you're wrong, what's the consequence for you? What will happen being Baptist is correct? You die. What'll happen to you?
Okay. Well, personally, I mean, let's say I go to meet God. I would explain why I thought the way I did, and assuming this deity is correct, he would probably know. And I would give my reasons, and I don't think I can do anything from there. I would say, well, I didn't see there was enough proof. I found flaws here. And I would just say, do with me what you will. I did the best I could.
Okay, so what do you think he'll do with you?
Well, it's assuming it's a he. I mean, that's kind of...
Well, I'm going the Baptist route for you because that's your background. What would he do with you, heaven or hell?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Personally, I don't believe either of those things exist. I don't believe God exists. But
I understand.
We're all assuming it's true.
Right.
I don't care what he does, honestly. I mean, I did the best I could, and I was doing the best I could reason, doing the best I could ethically and morally, and if he disagrees with that, that's his choice.
Mm-hmm. So you understand? You remember some Bible verses from going to a Baptist church that God is the creator of the universe. He gave this universe so that you could know that he exists. He's big. He holds. He measures the universe with the span of his hand. You're gonna meet him, and he knows your thought life. He knows everything you've done. Everything that you've ever done in private, everything you've done in public, everything you failed to do that was kind and good and right, every time you've taken his name in vain, every time you lusted, every time you lied, every time you've done something that's in violation of his laws, you don't care?
Well, those are your assumptions. I don't necessarily agree with them.
I know you don't,
assuming,
but if it's true, you don't care?
If it's true, I would say I did the best I thought I could. So if you want to do with me what you will,
And the concept of hell doesn't frighten you at all?
No, because I don't think it exists. But if it did exist and I found out it did somehow miraculously after death, then I would say, okay, if that's where you feel I should go, fine.
That is, honestly, I mean, really, consider what you just said. If it's true, and the God who created you and everything that you've seen and everything that's been, everything, has a hot place called hell to punish lawbreakers, because that would be the just thing to do, because despite your good acts, and I'm sure you've done some, that doesn't tip the scale. You still have to pay the fine for your lawbreaking. It doesn't concern, that doesn't even give you like a, ooh, that would be horrible? Even in Fantasyland,
no.
Nothing.
No, even in Fantasyland, I would say I disagree with your policies. We have a disagreement, mm-hmm. but if you wanted to throw me in your fire pit, then fine.
All righty. Dude, you better be right.
Well, we'll see. Personally, I think it'll just be an empty grave. But.
Yes, we will. All right, Keith, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
See you, dude. Bye. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Oh, what a horrid day for that young man.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We also appreciate hearing from you. Whether you have a question, a comment, a conundrum, or snark, or would just like to share your wretched story with us, do that, would you? Two ways. One is Beep Talk. That would be a voicemail type thing. 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-2337 if you want the numbers. There's also the old standby. Email idea@wretched.org. Like this note we got that said, I'm so thankful for your ministry. Really, I have no idea where my Christian walk would be without having been taught through the scriptures for many years through Wretched. Praise the Sovereign Lord. Those kind of notes pretty much make us just turn off the lights, go home, and wait for the next day. Thank you. idea@wretched.org if you'd like to share your wretched story with us, and wretched.org/donate if you'd like to make more wretched stories possible. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
No doubt if you've spent even a minute listening to conservative media, you have been whipped into a frenzy. The problems with our society, the collapse of a culture, the statistics, the legislation. We got to do something about this. But then we're never told what to do. I believe the greatest social ill of our time is the war against the unborn. Millions of children being killed in our country during our lifetime. And we can do something about it, and we can practically get engaged in the war for life. Preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. It saves the life of a child. Let's not just be righteously indignant. Let us do something to save lives. The women hear the gospel, they receive support, and they choose life. $28 for an ultrasound. Preborn.org/wretched.
Does this sound familiar? It's Saturday night, and there you are on your computer, and you decide to watch a video of John MacArthur. And the next thing that you know, you're 3 hours deep in YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up. Hey, it's happened to all of us. Instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, we suggest visiting wretched.org. There are hundreds of hours of biblically based TV and radio, and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. Wretched's hour-long radio programs posted every day tackle tough issues that we all face today. That's not all. Every Monday, you can expect to hear Grace to Use, Phil Johnson, on Too Wretched for Radio with Todd. So the next time you're just wandering the web watching baby giraffe videos, head on over to wretched.org. Wretched.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joshua tells of the conquest and division of the Promised Land. There are two consistent themes in Joshua: God's faithfulness and his aversion to unfaithfulness. When you wonder how committed God is to his people, or doubt the seriousness of idolatry, let Joshua remind you that your God is a jealous God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go check in with Trish, who's in a big old school someplace in Texas. Good enough, Trish?
I am, Todd. I am. It's really, really huge. I'm in Denton, Texas. University of North Texas. with a huge lineup of students. I don't even know who to choose from, but I chose for you so that you don't have to make the choice. I've got two atheists, one agnostic, and I'm going to choose the agnostic, who's wearing a Catholic bracelet. But you'll have to ask him about why he's got his Catholic bracelet on.
Huh. And how many people are gathered around you right now?
Well, you know, I joined some friends for some open-air preaching today here on the campus, so these students stopped by, and that's why I grabbed them. So I don't know. We've got a little crowd around us.
All righty. And the fellow's an atheist with a Catholic bracelet on.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, why are you wearing pictures of Mary? Come on now, Yuri. What's going on here? You're agnostic or atheist? Which one? Agnostic. Aaron says he's agnostic, yes. So.
Aaron the agnostic. All right.
Yes.
Alrighty.
And he's going to school here for criminal justice.
Well, my favorite subject. All right, criminal justice, that lends itself just perfectly. This fellow hopefully has a good understanding of justice. That should be helpful. By the way, the atheist fellow.
Not happy. He wouldn't talk to me at all. I could hardly get any video footage at all or photos. I'm glad I got the photos of him before the segment, Todd.
Thrilled to pieces
so
with that.
So you'll get to see me with him. He was not happy. No.
I couldn't be happier with that he wasn't happy with that. You
just never know. Like you say, you know, the one that barks the loudest sometimes is the one that got hit. Well, he barked pretty loud.
Good. All right, so let's have a little chit-chat with Aaron.
Okay, you're live on the air.
Very good.
Hey, how's it going?
Aaron, how do you do? How old are you, young man?
I'm 22 years old.
Then I can call you a young man.
Yeah.
Do you know why you're named Aaron? Whose name is Aaron?
Oh, isn't it the brother of Moses?
Very good. Good for you. That's right. Where'd you learn that?
I learned it growing up. I've been to church a few times, but never really read the Bible or anything. Heard it.
What? You're in the Bible Belt. You've never read the Bible?
No, I haven't.
Interesting. So if I asked you, what is the big point of the Bible, would you have any idea?
The big point?
What's the major theme?
I could not give you a good answer.
All right. Well, oddly enough, Aaron, it actually has to do with criminal justice.
All right,
which is your field of study, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Now let me ask you a question because this will be kind of important. When somebody breaks a law, do you believe that that individual has a moral responsibility to society to receive the consequences for their wrongdoing?
Yes, I do. I think they should get a just punishment, but I also think that punishment should focus on not just punishing him, but also rehabilitating the person.
Yeah. Okay, so there should be some rehabilitation, but mostly you break the crime, you do the time. It's a penal institution where you get punished for your wrongdoing, right?
Yes, sir.
All right,
yes, sir.
Cool. Now, you rightly said, too, that the crime or the punishment should fit the crime.
Yeah.
I want to introduce a concept to you that maybe you've heard about and see if we can reason together to make it a reasonable punishment place. And that that place is hell. Tell me what you know about hell, Aaron.
It's a place where the sinners go tortured. I don't know. It seems a little silly to me.
Okay. Why does it seem silly?
Just the whole concept of you don't do exactly what so-and-so religion says. You're going to hell and I don't know.
Okay. Not what a religion says, but what God says. You'd go to hell.
God. Yeah, but I mean, like, who's God? Which God?
Okay.
You know?
All right. Well, the Bible says that there's one God, and he has laws, and he's got rules.
Yeah.
All right? And because we break those laws and because we break those rules, criminal justice steps in and says you must be punished for your law-breaking. And the place that he's prepared is hell, but it's hot, it's horrible, and it goes on for forever. Does that seem reasonable to you?
That doesn't seem reasonable.
Why not?
A punishment forever doesn't, for like what kind of crime, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, the laws. Here's why most people think the same way you do, Aaron, that hell is unreasonable. Is because they tend to think that the crimes we commit on this earth are really no big deal. They're pretty much like the same thing that everybody else does. For instance, you said you're 22, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, you're a guy. You probably look at women. Well, I shouldn't assume. Do you ever look at women and have sexual thoughts about them?
All the time.
All right, there you go. And you probably don't think that's a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal.
God does.
Well, then me and your God have a problem.
Yeah, that's right. But here's...
I think it's a natural thing, and you shouldn't be punished for something like that. You can't help but have a sexual thought about...
Oh, sure you can. You could not do it if you chose to. You do have the self-control to see a woman and go, I'm not going to look at that and fantasize. You could do that if you chose to. But here's here's why hell is so reasonable. Because it's not so much that the crime is so spectacular. It's the one against whom we've committed the crime. It's sort of like this. You're a criminal justice guy. If I stepped on a bug right now that was crawling through my office, would I go to jail?
No, you would not.
I committed murder, but no jail. I go to downtown. I find a homeless guy, some drunken bum, and I kill that guy. How long will I go to jail, give or take?
You're looking at about 20 to life.
Do you think that long for killing a bum?
Yeah.
Chance of parole?
Probably not. I
mean, yeah. All right. Now, what if I flew to Washington, D.C., killed the president of the United States?
About same punishment.
I'll bet it would be more. I'll bet it'd be a lot more. No parole, nothing. You're going away, pal. If you're of right mind, you're done. You maybe even death penalty for killing the president. At least it would be considered.
You're probably right, but it's supposed to be, you know.
All right, now here's what's happened in our scenario. I've committed the same crime, but I'll receive a different punishment. What changed in the scenario?
Circumstance.
Nope. You're close. You're warm. What changed? Same crime, different punishment. What changed in our story?
You killed the president.
Yeah, the one against whom I committed the crime. Exactly. The punishment goes up when you kill somebody who is esteemed higher. So when you look with lust, you've sinned against the God of the universe, and so his just punishment, because he is so high and holy, is eternity in hell. Not because your lust is so amazing, but because it has been a sin, a crime committed against the God of the universe. That's why hell is so hot and so horrible.
I mean, if it was true, if you believe it's true, then...
But that makes sense, though, doesn't it?
That sounds horrible, but I don't think that there's one guy, just God. And if he's going to punish me for thinking of having a small fantasy about a girl, which is harmless if she has no idea what's going on, that I'm going to go to hell and be tortured for eternity, that's not someone I want to believe in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about lying? Have you ever told a lie?
I told a lie. I don't try and tell
a lie. Okay. So a lie is a terrible thing to God because he is truth. So he knows you're a liar. That's why he sends people to hell, because it's a very serious crime. Here's another one. Aaron, have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Probably, yeah.
All right, that's blasphemy. So God made you, he created you, he's given you everything, sent you off to school, and you use his name as a filthy word. It's called blasphemy. And so that's why hell is so hot and it's so horrible. When you were a kid, maybe even now, were you ever lippy with your mom and dad?
Yeah.
Okay. So now just one crime against God is bad and should be punished because he's so holy. But start adding these up, Aaron, and all of a sudden your tally sheet, you got a long rap sheet with God.
Yeah, but I mean, lying, fantasizing, I mean, they're maybe not, you know, great things, but is it really something I should be punished for?
Aaron, I would ask you to think about listen to your conscience. I mean, honestly, come on, we know that lying is a bad thing. I'll bet you hate it when somebody lies to you, don't you?
Usually someone who lies in the end, you know, they get their just consequences.
Well, that's interesting you would say that, but you hate when people lie to you. We don't like it. And yeah. You might not think that lusting is a big deal, but in your heart, you're too young to have a daughter, but I got to tell you something. I don't like the idea of somebody lusting toward my daughters. Because it's dirty, and there's something inside of us that agrees with that and knows it. So, Aaron, you're in criminal justice studies. If a criminal stood before the judge and said, Judge, I just don't think my crimes were a big deal, what would the judge say to him?
Well, then it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And God is the same way. It doesn't matter what we think about the laws.
But the judge isn't going to send him to be tortured for eternity. It's not his...
Well, I tried to explain why that it's such a bad place and such a long place. All right, Aaron, here's my challenge for you today, all right?
Okay.
You're studying criminal justice because you think that justice is important. And you know what? The Bible says the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. God loves justice too. So, Aaron, my challenge for you today is to do something that you've maybe done on a college campus or in high school, and that is to not study facts, but to listen to your conscience, that little courtroom inside of your brain that says, I've blown it, I've done wrong, and I know it. Listen to that conscience and just think about what God should do with you and grab a Bible and give it a read. All right, dude?
I've listened to my conscience my whole life, and I have a very fulfilling and
happy life. Yeah, listen a little louder, dude.
Until next time, go serve your king.